That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound.
Thursday, June 4th, 2020. You're listening to the Down the Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm Brian. Way over there is Joe.
Hey.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm well. And yourself?
Doing good.
Very good.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff to talk about this week. But before we do that, let me ask you, what are you drinking?
I am having a basic rum and coke. With lime. It's Old Nassau rum, flavored rum, banana rum, and a Pepsi, and some lime juice.
No one's going to know what we're talking about, but I don't think I've had rum since that one fateful Halloween party that we attended that one time.
Well, that rum or whiskey? I thought that was whiskey.
That was rum.
Oh yeah!
that was the night that I thought we might have ended a friendship, but
no. Had you standing me like, yeah, am I coming and dropping you off back at your car? Well, yeah, we would have had an issue, but no, we're here.
Yeah, we are. So no one's going to know what the hell we're talking about, but that was good.
And that, you know, some stories are best left from the past.
Yes. Well, I'm just having Diet Pepsi tonight. Tuesday, I really I tied one on like I hadn't in a while, and so I'm not the young, spry alcoholic that I used to be. When I hit it like that. I basically was recovering yesterday, and my brother's birthday is tomorrow. So
oh, nice!
He's going to be coming over, and he's going to want a drink. So I'm just kind of preparing myself for the abuse that is to come. I'm sure.
Make sure you eat before you drink, because
absolutely.
I am super sensitive to that. If I don't eat before I drink, it's a prescription for non-fun.
Agreed. Yeah.
How old is he going to be?
Oh, goodness.
Are we the same age?
40. I think he's going to be 40 or 41. 40. Wow. I think he's going to be 40.
Yeah, we're the same age.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So let's get started tonight. And there's a few things that we can talk about with the Ahmaud Arbery case in Georgia. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's still moving forward. One thing I wanted, as I was reading some articles, what I've been reading is they said that he was shot three times, but by the same person. And so that if that's true, and I'm not a gun expert, but does that mean if he was shot three times with a shotgun that guy had to do the whole chick three times to load a round to shoot three times? Is that right?
I mean, unless he was a
I don't think it was a double
shotgun. Yeah.
Oh, do they make automatics that do that?
They do, but I doubt that he would have had. Most things are wildly expensive.
Right.
But yes, yeah, so presumably he would have had to cock it each time to chamber the next round to fire.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, I also saw a report that apparently they hit him with a truck.
How is this? It's crazy what's coming out now, right?
Yeah. It makes me think. If they hit him with a truck, will that be before or after they shot him?
I don't know. That adds another dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, these guys, you just, but the more the story develops, the worse they are.
Yeah. And we're finally now, I seen a story about the guy who was following them. I guess his name is William Bryan Jr.
Mm-hmm.
But according to him, after he was shot and they were waiting for the police to arrive, Travis McMichael allegedly called Ahmed a fucking N-word.
So he dropped the N-bomb.
And, yeah, and if you – and then apparently he goes on to – that's not the first time. He's used it various times in the past, so we're getting a little insight there that – well, I don't know, man. That's just not the Travis McMichael that I know. But I guess.
will that surprising or even kind of surprising, or is it like, okay, no surprises at all?
No, I knew it without having to be told. So really, this is just kind of like validation.
Yeah, like par for the course.
To me. Yeah. Yeah, the examples that he gave, you know, just sound like that it was just like common, a common part of his vocabulary. So no surprises.
Anyway, and yeah, I bet you it's one of those things. If they knew then what they know now, I should hope that they would have thought to have acted differently. And
right.
William Bryant, O'Brien, George McMichael, and Travis McMichael.
Yep.
So, okay, well, I mean, other development in that story. Apparently, a judge has certified that trials against all three men can proceed. Apparently, that was a question, whether or not there was a, you know, I guess there was a question as to if a crime had been committed. Okay. But we got that one cleared. So a crime, there is probable cause to believe a crime has been committed, so they will proceed with the trial. And then I think I said this earlier that apparently he was hit with a truck before he died. So,
yeah, that's weird. I'll be curious to find out how that materialized.
Yeah, did they hit him and then then we saw the struggle, or did they shoot him dead and then they ran him over? It's like,
yeah.
It's like, God, man, guys, you guys just play too hard, you know?
Right.
So,
I wonder if they're going to like all three be like one trial for all three of them at once, or if they're going to each have like three trials with three lawyers, and I wonder how that's going to go down.
That'll be a function of probably a negotiation between the prosecution and the defense. I mean, if I were one of the three guys, sorry, one of the two guys that wasn't holding a gun, I wouldn't want to be tried with the guy who was holding a gun.
Yeah.
Would you?
Right. Yeah. If anything, I'll bet the William, it sounds like the William Brian is more would is maybe looking to kind of like become a witness. So I'll bet he does get his own attorney and tries to go his own way, separate himself from those two.
He's like the MGTOW of murdering black guys. going his own way. I'm sorry.
That was
stupid. That was dumb.
Crazy call.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Name the show again.
What was that?
Okay, what's the name of the show again?
Yeah. All right. Well.
So
let's. Yeah.
So the big development is that they are going to trial, we find out some a little bit more about, you know, the mindset of these of what the McMichaels in this, and they hit him on a truck, and so I guess we'll all, those will all be things we get to follow up on and advance in our next show.
Yes, agreed. All right, so moving on. This is real quick, but I think it's kind of interesting to note that with what's been going on with the George Floyd murder and the resulting riots is that apparently, as you put it, George Floyd has cured COVID-19.
I'm sorry, I did not mean to put it.
But
this worldwide pandemic, you know, you shoot enough black people and then.
Yeah. No social distancing going on anymore.
It was funny. It was June 1st where we're sitting in watching television and we look up and we notice, hey, the death cam isn't on CNN anymore, because for the longest time they had a thing where they were tracking the number of, you know, people who had the, who had it worldwide, number of bodies. And so you could almost, you know, I don't want to say that the newscaster was celebrating every time the number went up, but right. It was just short of it. Oh, that, you know, there's another grim reminder, this grim milestone, that's the word, grim milestone.
It's, and it's interesting. You sent me a text telling me that, and I went and done a check, and our death count still had, when you told me that, from my numbers, we hadn't hit 100,000 yet. I thought for sure that it would at least stay there until 100,000. But if the numbers that I were looking at were accurate, they shut it off around 98,000, 99,000. So that's odd that they did that.
Yeah.
Took it down.
Well, I'm happy because that's like, that was depressing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not something you want. That's kind of that. It's like the.
A little morose. Yeah. A little morose.
There you go. I like that's a good word. But yeah, I don't know. I think this just kind of illustrates that. We did this social distancing, maybe just, I don't know.
I honestly think social, I mean, to your point earlier, what's magical about 6 feet, what's magical about it is that it's not 2 feet, or that it's not literally in one's grill, if that makes sense. That's probably the only real benefit you can point to. And once again, when you're dealing with this type of a catastrophe on this type of level, you have to be seen doing something. And so it wouldn't surprise me if 6 feet was something that came down to, you know, they voted on it.
Sure. Now, you're right. You have to look at it from the optics. They have to look, you're right. They had to look like they were doing something, so I can accept that. I suppose it's just it's telling that it's kind of dropped by the wayside now when we have real problems to deal with.
Oh, I know people are still social distancing here in DC, but in DC we have like the highest concentration of people with it anyway. So,
right, yeah, so. That's really all I wanted to point out. I found it interesting, but I think it's time. The big story that I've been dreading all week. What happened in Minnesota and the resulting riots, protests. Who's doing them? Why? And this, regardless, are we going to use this opportunity to do something, make a real change? Because, like I've told you, I don't want to hear anyone telling me that we need to have a conversation or anything like that. It's, you know, this is, I think this is probably the most destructive riots that we've had. I don't know what the Watts riots were like back in the 60s, but this has certainly eclipsed the Rodney King riots in 91 or 92. And so, you know, we have America's attention now, and I hope that I'm skeptical that anything will happen, but I'm hopeful that maybe it will. But we need to come up with something, because this is a problem that's not going away.
And when you say they've got America's attention by that, what do you mean by that?
Well, I picked that up from you last week when I wanted to make the distinction between the protesters and the rioters, and you said something to the effect of, well, but sometimes the rioting will get people's attention.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like that. I liked that. And so I've kind of adopted that. So, attention is, you know, we have our undivided attention. Now we need to do something.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's, did we go over what we know about this last time?
Well, we mostly talked about the incident itself, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I know that I don't think we talked about this last week, but apparently these two knew each other prior.
Now, I think you sent me the MSN, like something on MSN.
Yes,
but
yes.
The thing is I've not. I heard that from you, but I've not seen that picked up anywhere else.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. Waiting for mainstream to talk about it.
If the Down the Rabbit Hole podcast with all of our resources can pull the story, you know, pull that out, why hasn't, you know, CNN or ABC or CBS? Because that totally changes. I mean, once you realize. Sorry, if they knew each other, that changes everything, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It goes from you know, rotten, you know, bad cop to straight out just murderous guy going and
yeah. It makes you wonder what the hell the other two or three cops that were there at the time. Were they just not aware of, were they like concerned with their own spot on his back, and they weren't paying attention to what the guy was doing with his neck or what? But all of them they've all been arrested, and I think they're all going to be charged, right?
Yes. And it's it could be either they were preoccupied, or it was just another day at the office. Not very sure which one's scarier.
I don't like to think that that's the case. I mean, I know that it could be, but that's just terrifying.
Yeah.
And
because then everybody who has, you know, then that whole question about body cams becomes a, you know, really, really urgent. I mean, was he wearing? Were they wearing body cams, these cops?
I don't think so, but they might have been. I don't know.
Here's something. Did you know that the mortician, Who's the guy?
Oh yeah, this is yes, I did know that this was bizarre, and I wanted to ask you about this as well. The same doctor that did the autopsy for Jeffrey Epstein is supposed to do the autopsy for this guy.
Are you sure?
Are they fucking with us? Really?
Somebody's got to. Yeah, they're like, yeah, we don't think the knee on the back of the neck causes death. Really? It's like, huh?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not like that there's just like a few people who do autopsies that you have to share around the country. Every state and every locale has their own person, right? So wasn't Epstein, didn't he die in New York? Why is this guy going to Minnesota?
Well, he's the guy they call in when you got some real dirt you need done, or it's just like, wait a second. So you're telling me that, you know, the guy didn't hang himself? What? You're telling me that the knee to the back of the neck didn't kill him? Didn't choke him? Like, like, you know, he's the guy when you need to tell the big lie.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And I did see, I can't remember what paper it was, but they said that he had the COVID-19 in his system when he died, but that wasn't why he died.
They also made it a point to, you know, once again, look under his fingernails for dirt, and they said that he was intoxicated with methamphetamine.
Fentanyl,
yeah. And he had hypertensive heart disease. So
I've seen that someone said that he died of a heart attack, but that it was put down as homicide. I'm slightly confused now.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things where you're like, oh shite, this guy did this thing, and now we all have to, you know, make heads or tails of it, and remember that we're all politicians and we want to be able to run for office again.
Yeah.
So I think this is just like, you know, the bungle, or, you know, the B team or C team that they sent in.
Right. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at a picture of him, and he's like, if you were to, let's say, cut off, you know, from the knee up, it looks like he's just like sitting in a chair.
Okay.
Oh, that's the other piece. Apparently, as we talked about earlier, this guy had a record of, you know, he's had like 12 different incidents over his 19-year career with the Minneapolis PD. But the other interesting story that I heard was is that apparently Amy Klobuchar, the person who was running for president, being vetted for vice president maybe the day before this happened.
Right.
She had an opportunity to prosecute this guy, the Chauvin guy, because he had killed somebody else, and she elected not to.
Well, that's unfortunate for her.
And for George.
When there's too many coincidences, I just don't believe that they happen. That, you know, there's no such thing as coincidences when they're coming at you this fast. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Just how it's all tied together.
Yeah.
It's like coming full circle in a way. That's just bizarre.
I think they have a word for it, synchronicity.
Synchronicity. That's, yeah.
You got a confluence of incidents that are unlikely to occur at the same time and have the effect that they do. If any of these things had happened at one time by themselves, they would not have had the overall impact that them all happening together has had.
Yeah, exactly. I in fact, that's kind of my synchronicity is sort of my my new religion in a way, in that I should have identified that earlier. You're right.
Yeah.
Synchronicity. It's just it's crazy.
So, yeah. So this is one of those things where it's national. It's affected presidential politics. Yeah. It's affected almost every state in the union, and it looks as if things are only going to accelerate before they slow down. So.
Yeah, you have to wonder what's next, right? Because we still have a ways to go before the end of the year. Or I believe that, as with everything, this has become political, and so I look at the election as like everything that's going on now is in some way going to affect that. And so we're going to keep getting things thrown at us until that election is over.
Yeah, 2020?
Yes.
I mean,
now I don't want to I don't mean to take away from the importance of this, but I do believe that it's been co-opted and politicized. And
okay, at what moment did the politicization and co-opting occur in your mind?
Almost immediately. I don't know when, but I believe that what we've seen in Minnesota after this happened was legitimate and grassroots and what's the term?
Organic.
Organic. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that just everything is just way too coordinated in all the other states and even in other parts of the world. And I'm not going to say his name, the self-hating Hungarian Jew. I won't say his name.
Self-hating Hungarian Jew. No idea.
Yeah, the people with the tinfoil hats love to point to George Soros.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say his name. Well, I did. I just did.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I'm glad you did, because I would have never figured that one out.
I'm not going to point to him and say that he's funding all of these organizations that's doing all this. But I believe that there are a bunch of organizations that are doing that are really coordinating all of this, and it's political.
You know, that's funny. I mean, so there, and maybe we should take a moment of pause. It makes sense that there should be protests everywhere. Okay, we can both agree on that, right?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And you also are one that, you know, if you were to hear that the FBI or some other police organization had set somebody up, would that be something that's totally surprising to you?
Oh no. You know my thoughts on the FBI and their counterterrorism
yes.
escapades.
Now,
yeah.
Now I've been using Twitter a lot more than I normally do, but and on Twitter you see a lot of stuff. And there's a couple of pictures of pretty much white guys, sorry, in Minnesota, going around breaking windows. Basically, it gave rise to all the looting and stuff like that, mm-hmm. that occurred. Had you heard anything like that?
Yeah. One of those groups that I think that's causing the most problem is Antifa.
The guy I was thinking about was supposedly a cop.
Oh.
Yeah, they said the guy is a cop, and his ex-wife identified him. Also identified him by, you know, I guess his voice. I guess she recognized the mask he was using to hide his face, and actually went down and found his name and everything. I thought I sent that to you, but maybe I didn't.
I'll have to double check. You may have.
So
that's interesting.
But I mean, it's also funny because I've seen some of the Antifa guys,
Yeah.
And I've seen them because you can, in D.C., you literally see protesters driving around the street.
Wow.
So, I mean.
You know, I guess when I see the pictures, I see the pictures on TV, and I you know what, I rarely don't watch television news. I absolutely don't watch CNN or MSNBC, and I don't like to watch Fox News either. But I've been, because of this, and I knew that we'd be talking about this today, I've been watching Fox News, and I hate it, man. I'm just I'm so much happier when I don't, I guess, when I don't know what the hell's going on.
maybe say ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, but I watched the pictures of it, of what's going on, and you know, you see these like little white girls, you know, on like the outs, you know, like there's the big crowd of guys in there of mixed race, a lot of white dude. You see a lot of white faces in this crowd, you know, maybe roughing up or doing something. And then you see like these little white girls taking selfies for their Instagram or whatnot, and it's like, really?
Could somebody please Molotov cocktail her?
Terrible. Yeah, what is this little girl would absolutely die if violence. I mean, they're just like, it's the most bizarre thing to see, and it's just, it is so sad. I say it's sad, and I mean sad in that I just hate the culture that social media has enabled to like rise up and become a thing. It's,
well, it's funny, 'cause you have talked about this in the past on occasion, but I think in a certainly different way, you called it how our culture is becoming more coarsened.
Yeah.
And you know, there's use of you know, foul language and, you know, stuff like that. That's coarse. You're just talking out of turn and just being rude, nasty. But then there's another type of coarseness where you just, like, you know, you don't. It's got, you lack empathy for your fellow man. So you can watch somebody being you know, gassed and think, oh, this is a great time to get an Instagram shot. So that's another element of coursing that I don't think people think about, but I think it's probably much more insidious than somebody using foul language.
Yeah, that's a good observation.
Yeah,
and that's one of the aspects that I hate social media for.
Are you on social media anymore at all?
No.
Even Facebook?
Nope.
Yeah, I am. I probably shouldn't be, but it's, you know.
I know it's addicting.
It'd be like not having a social media account, it'd be like not having an email account.
In a way, I know. Fortunately, this time around, I've been on job interviews in the past where they want, you know, I'm a programmer, so they want there's a site called GitHub, which is kind of like a social networking site for programmers. It's where it's more than that. It's a lot more than that, but it is kind of a social network for programmers. And, you know, the job interviewers are like, do you have a GitHub account? Do you have a LinkedIn account? Which I absolutely loathe LinkedIn. Now, granted, when I had one, this was like over 10 years ago. It was before Microsoft bought them. Mm-hmm. But they just hijack your email contacts list and start sending out emails on your behalf, and it's just horrible. I shut it down instantly, and I've never went back. Maybe it's better now, but I'll never know.
There's wisdom in that. It's like somebody going through your house and
oh yeah,
just taking your stuff and it's like, oh yeah, by the way.
It was absolutely.
It's kind of invasive. Yeah, invasive.
It was absolutely invasive. So I don't know if they still do that or not, but they did it when I first signed up, and it was. I was like done.
They still do it.
Oh man. So I know we got sidetracked there, but I'll always take an opportunity to slap down social media. So
yeah, I never realized
no apologies here.
I never realized that I was dealing with a digital media leper. Do they have a Facebook account?
I know. That's why I wrote my own chat, because the only value that I ever got from social media was Google's chat. It was a way that I kept up with friends, but once I was like, I'm a programmer, I can make my own, and I did, and so I never looked back. You know, you can chat with me if you want to, and a few others, but that's all I really needed from social media was the ability to chat with friends, and so I've replicated that on my own. And yeah,
to hell with them.
To hell with them.
All right. So like there've been worldwide protests,
mm-hmm.
over 200 cities all over the world. I say it was 200. Let me check back. Sorry, over 400 cities all over the country, all over the world. So.
Yeah, it's. I don't have a lot of numbers. I know. I think I heard someone say that, like in London, it's just there's hardly any deaths by cop in London.
Wait, because cops don't have guns over there.
Yeah, and I think the only one that was the only black person that was actually killed in 2019 was a Muslim immigrant. Surprise, surprise. Who was like attacking people with a machete or something and got killed? But
yeah, who would have foresaw that?
Yeah. But they're still rioting and they're still protesting. Which I don't know if it's a good. I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing, but it's just interesting. They probably don't even know what a Minnesota is.
Yeah, but I mean, part of me says. I think there might be something larger happening. And I say that because it's one of those things where they're breaking people's stuff. And I guess that's the other thing that I noticed is that you've got two groups of people. One group of people, they get really hot and bothered. Oh my God, I can't believe they're breaking and stealing stuff. But those same people would be like, oh yeah, these, you know, it's just another black guy got killed. Oh, that cop was just a bad apple. Yeah. I always wonder where's the outrage the outrage people have for stuff being stolen from a large faceless corporation, as opposed to the death of a guy who has a heart, two eyes, two ears, and nose, a beating heart. Well, not anymore, like everyone else. There's just no outrage there, and it's like I don't understand how you could get exercised about looting and you don't care about, or don't you get exercised about somebody getting shot and killed. Presumably life is more valuable and important, but maybe not.
I mentioned last week, I've become much more pessimistic about things, And I know that everyone says that every life is precious or whatever, but and that all life matters, or but I don't know that it does really. I mean, this world has billions and billions of people, and I mean people in Africa, you know, die from starvation by the hundreds or thousands, and it's still happening, and the world goes on. I don't want to get too political or here, but we have an industry in this country that is about ending lives before they're born. I mean, we say that all life is precious, but you know, life is fleeting, man, and every day lots of lives are lost to various things, and the world keeps moving. And so I know that's kind of a depressing way to look at it, but
no, actually Professor John Jacobs, my mentor at my university, a philosophy professor. And I remember, like, maybe, you know, day one or day two of class, he said something to the effect of, most of you will die, and it'll be very painful, and the world won't notice, and you will be forgotten. Day one in philosophy. Someone hits you with that, like, oh, man, you mean I'm not important? No, you're not.
Yeah, it's I think it's just as I'm closer to the end of my life than I am the beginning of my life, I'm starting to think about things like that. And
yeah, but what if you lived to 110? Then you're still close to the beginning.
I don't know that I'd want that. But my point being is, I, you know, the truth is, I will, you know, I'll die. There'll be a few people who remember me, but when they die, I'll be forgotten. It's not like there's very few people make a lasting impact on the world. You know, not everyone can be an Elon Musk. Not everyone can be a Bill Gates, or you know, there's just, you know, most of us will go through life
croak, and
yeah, we'll you know, we'll, I mean, at the end, at the you know, right, you know, my life is really I've got to a point in life where I was able to buy my own home, and I was able to buy a car. And that's the sum total of Brian Newman. He's got a house and a BMW. So and that means absolutely nothing when I'm gone.
Yeah, but having known Brian Newman, yeah, I know he's more than that. Actually, if this is gonna sound terrible, if you were the guy in the room next year, in the unit next year, I could probably say, yeah, you know, not much, you know, not more than the sum of its parts. But I know you, and I know that, right. I know better. So there you go.
Yeah, but like I said, it's when you and my other friends move on, pass on. I'll be forgotten, and that's kind of a sobering thing to think about.
it may encourage you to go and have an adventure. Hopefully it does.
It makes me really devalue life, I guess.
No, I wouldn't. It's not as if you're like, yeah, kill them all.
Yeah. So I'm not that pessimistic, really, but
It's funny because when we first met, you were a pretty optimistic guy.
I know.
So you're like, racism in America? That doesn't exist.
Oh, did I say that?
If not exactly that, something pretty close. Mm.
I guess that was that's what I wanted to think, I guess.
Oh, hey. Wisdom, age.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. So, there was one or two other topics we wanted to talk about.
Concerning George?
Well, part of me says it's the president's walk.
Oh yeah. You'll have to bring me up to speed on that. I'm not sure I'm not sure what happened or why people are up in arms about it. So bring me up to speed, please.
And so June 2nd, approximately 7 p.m., Washington, D.C. So the previous night, CNN was covering the White House, and what they were covering was a bunch of protesters, at the White House grounds, engaging in pushing and shoving matches with the police. And what the protesters would do was they would take away the one of the gates that the cops had set up to keep them out. It was actually kind of funny. They would be pulling it, and then eventually the protesters would grab the fence and take it away, and then the cops literally would pull out another fence, and then they pull and tussle over that. Next day, on the 2nd, I remember hearing about it first, maybe around like what, 6:15, and that was the president's going to be giving a presentation, and there was talk about him giving an Oval Office speech, but he didn't really like to give those, and he's not very good at it, so he doesn't. Cool. And he was supposed to be giving a presentation, but no one else really knew what it was. On that same day, once again, protesters showed up outside of the White House. And so approximately 7 o'clock, out of nowhere, basically, the military and military and Secret Service police basically just forcibly push away the protesters using tear gas and rubber bullets. And after they do that, the president walks about, three blocks. And then you have those pictures of him standing in front of a church with a Bible.
I've seen that picture, yeah.
Yeah, and so basically you got a bunch of – let's just say 85% of the protesters there were just totally peaceful, would have been standing there singing Kumbaya, and the other 15% may have gotten a little bit rowdy. Basically the president said, screw those guys. And screw your right to protest. I need to take a picture, and you guys have to go. So I'm going to call out the military and have you guys gassed and rubber bulleted. And that's exactly what happened. And so I just thought, it's probably I don't want to say ballsy because the president of the United States and he's surrounded by men with guns all the time, but And have you seen the pictures?
No, I seen a picture of him. I just thought, it's a staged photo op, but that's what all presidents do. I wasn't aware of the what you just told me that led up to that.
No, but now that you know, I mean, having seen the photo and not knowing the story before that preceded it. Yeah. Now that you know the story, do you look at the pictures a little bit differently?
I kind of like roll my eyes at fake shit like that anyway.
First of all,
Trump's not a Christian. He doesn't believe in God, and he doesn't believe in anything in the Bible. I'm positive of that. So anytime he panders to the religious right, I tell myself that that's just what he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't take anything that he does concerning religion seriously.
That's probably the beginning of wisdom.
So yeah, it's as far as the protesters and stuff, I I don't know. I guess you can kind of, of course, no one really knows Donald Trump or his personality. We can just kind of project or surmise or think we know, and or at least I don't know, the Donald Trump that I know in my brain was probably like, just, you know, fuck them. I want to do this and fuck them and make it, you know, just a kind of almost in a bully kind of way.
Well, and that's the thing, and that actually ties this story to the other story we were talking about, the George Floyd thing. To my mind, this picture, this photo op, was him making a statement. And I also think, you know, the whole knee on the back of your neck, that's making a statement too. And I think the president's statement with his, you know, his stage photo op was basically a big glaring middle finger to to anyone that, you know, had a soft spot for the protesters. And I honestly think that took the country down a peg, if that makes sense. And that's something you'd expect to hear of in, you know, some banana republic someplace, where, you know, you got a local strongman and he does whatever he wants. I mean, that was a total strongman move.
Okay.
I mean, the presidents usually don't walk around, you know, the White House and just, you know, no. He was making a statement. His statement was "F you," and yeah, I think it was despicable. I think it probably the darkest thing since the whole Charlottesville moment for him, in my opinion. Probably darker than that.
Well, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but the Charlottesville thing was a hoax. That never happened.
So there weren't people marching through the streets of Charlottesville?
Him saying that, him calling the white supremacists or the white nationalists good people, he didn't do that. If you read his entire quote, he specifically excludes them from being good people or decent people or whatever. That's taken completely out of context.
Yeah, because it came from you, I'm going to go back.
I can't let you point to that as because it was completely false.
Like I said, because it's you, I'll go back and take a look at it.
Yeah, I'll send you what I have on it.
Good.
You got to read everything. You got to read what he said in its entirety.
All
right. So you, what are your thoughts on? I don't think this will happen, but people have been talking about Trump saying he's going to send the military into these different states to quell this.
I think that's in that category of him posturing.
It'll never happen.
Yeah, posturing and negotiating. I think there's this thing called the posse comitatus.
Exactly. That's what I was going to bring up.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that they let him go on TV and say that out loud, that there wasn't a lawyer somewhere in the room that said, "Mr. President."
It's as with everything, it was just phase one of a negotiation. It would never happen.
So it's more bluster than anything.
I think that would be absolutely begging to be go through the impeachment again.
Yo, I mean, he is Teflon Don. I mean, ish doesn't stick to him.
So far.
I mean, so far, I mean, it's not like this guy's like 25 years old. He's like 70 plus years old.
Okay. All right. I got you. That's funny. But yeah, that was the only other thing that I had noted that I wanted to mention. But we're coming up on what, an hour?
Really? Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. But I don't wanna short anything. Is there anything else you wanna bring up on this? I'm sure we'll be talking about this next week too.
I actually think this is gonna be something that we're not gonna talk about for too much longer. I think this is gonna be this specific, you know, him taking a walk and what it means, I don't think we'll be talking about it. I hope we're not talking about it.
Right.
But if we're not talking about this in a few weeks, that means something worse probably happened. So hopefully we are talking about it now. Think about it. Here's a question. Can you name another American president in the last, 100 years that so actively mocked protesters? I can think of one. And once I say him, you'll be like, yeah, of course it was him.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nixon.
I'll have to say he was before my time, and I'm not, aside from the Watergate stuff, I'm not too
up on the Nixon stuff.
Up on Nixon.
Yeah, but he was known for taunting protesters that were protesting against him and his actions in Vietnam.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so. But, yeah.
Still learning. I'm still learning stuff after all these years.
Hopefully you do. this old dog can learn tricks.
Yeah.
Do you think, so you said something earlier about Antifa. What exactly are they? I've heard of it. And then I, of course, Googled them. And they come up as the anti-fascist. Can you enlighten me?
Yeah, I find it odd that that's what they stand for, anti-fascist. And I can't remember when they first really kind of came on the scene. I don't know if it was with Trump. Or
inauguration day. I'd never heard of them before.
But yeah, they're just a bunch of and this is a generalization, and of course there's always exceptions, but I really think that they're just a bunch of typically white, middle class kids with too much time on their hands who for whatever reason has this crazy worldview, and while they call themselves anti-fascist, they go out and they want to almost institute some kind of fascism in their actions.
Actually, to take a half step back, I'm not sure how we made it to the previous piece about the riots and did not make this point. You mentioned it just there, that you have these people who have too much free time on their hands. And so, take a half step back. We just got finished talking about the riots, and then we forgot to even mention that there are, 40 million people plus that are unemployed.
Yeah.
And you've got all these people who've been cooped up in their house for almost 3 months.
Can we say synchronicity again?
Yes, we can. And so one has to wonder, it may not have even been, George Floyd's death, but it could have just been we've just been literally cooped up for 3 months. Now it's time to break some stuff. And George Floyd's death just so happened to be the most convenient excuse to do that.
That's you're right in that we should have picked that up right away.
Yeah, I It wasn't until you said you're describing the typical Antifa person too much free time on their hands, middle class.
Well,
that's worth putting a pin in, so to speak.
Yeah. But people, you know, there's, because people, it's, you know, people who are working and going to work and having jobs. Not to say that there wouldn't have been protests. There would have, I think, but
I sure hope there would have been. Like, had there been full employment and this thing happened, I hope there still would have been protests.
Yeah.
It's not as clear that there would have been as much violence.
Right. So, yeah, synchronicity again. It's just, it
keeps on rearing its ugly head.
Yeah. Wow.
I hope I can synchronistically come across a winning lottery ticket.
wouldn't that be good?
Like if I'm like, you know, walking, exercising someplace, taking a walk, and I come across a, you know, a sheet of paper that, you know, gets stuck to the bottom of my shoe, and I pick it up. I'm like, what the hell? Well, I don't want to litter, so I'll just put it in my pocket and look up, and oh my god, it's a lottery ticket. I wonder if it won. Oh my god, it won. I'm a millionaire. Yay. Not likely.
Well, I don't know that we've solved the world's problems yet, but we still have next show to go. But I have a house guest who is getting hungry, I think. So I'm gonna move us along and wrap up episode number 5. Number 5, that seems like a small milestone, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
We've stuck to something. I don't know the last time that I've dedicated
5 weeks.
Yeah, 5 weeks to something. So
says the guy who can write in how many computer languages?
Well, yeah,
exactly.
But that's been a while. Well, anyway, okay. So we like to we like to wrap up with on a lighter note. This has been a pretty heavy episode. And so, and we've touched on this before. I can't remember what we were talking about, but there's an agenda out there and it's related to saving the planet, and it's the powers that be. They so badly want us to start eating fucking bugs.
Yeah, that's gonna have to wait till, you know, our kids.
Yeah, I've got a story.
Our kids.
Yeah, and again, all this crazy shit comes out of the European Union.
Oh no! Sorry. What type of bug? I'm just curious.
Well, this article. I have two articles here, real quick. A new EU draft policy announced last week calls for insect-based proteins to be extensively promoted as a replacement for animal products to save the environment.
Sorry. F those guys, I want my steak.
And then there's a second. What does this say? Yeah, and then I came across that last week, and then today, here's an article from Reuters that says, "Waiter, there's a fly in my waffle." And then it says, "Belgium, headline writers love to be witty."
Yeah, they should stop.
Belgian researchers try out insect butter. Belgian waffles may be about to become more environmentally friendly. All right, hold on. Scientists at Ghent University in Belgium are experimenting with larva fat to replace butter in waffles, cakes, and cookies.
The very idea.
Saying using grease from insects is more sustainable than dairy produce.
Yeah, the very idea pisses me off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clad in white aprons, the researchers soak black soldier fly larvae in a bowl of water put it in a blender to create a smooth grayish dollop, and then use a kitchen centrifuge to separate out insect butter.
I'm sorry. What's a kitchen centrifuge?
Centrifuge.
Yeah.
Only thing I know really of a centrifuge is if you like watch crime procedurals, mm-hmm. and they take a vial of blood and they put it in a thing.
Yeah,
and
okay.
it spins and separates I guess plasma or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing there's a version of that for the kitchen when you're making your larva butter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what do you say to that?
It's just...
I mean, it makes me think that our future is much less bright than I would have wanted to believe.
Yeah.
I mean...
But the thing is it's... I believe that this is kind of like a, larva butter for thee, but not for me. Angela Merkel is never going to be putting... larva butter on her big steak.
Yeah.
They want, I'm positive that they want us plebes to just, I don't know what their thought process is, but it's just, it's not going away. I've been hearing about this kind of stuff off and on for the past decade. So it obviously means something to these people.
Well, they're trying to remind the European peasantry that they're just that, peasants.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Maybe that wasn't so lighthearted, and
it's just so damn.
I'm getting ready to order some Chinese, so maybe that wasn't the best. That wasn't the best stories to go out on.
Mm-mm.
More fried rice, please.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you stay away from it. I mean, yeah. Well, make sure if you do order Chinese, get shrimp.
Yeah. Oh, always.
Yeah. You can look at it, but yep, that's shrimp. I know it's not cat, dog, or anything else. But, you
know. Oh, love it. That's
awful.
Great.
I'm sorry. I'm a bad person. But hey, it's been great. Another episode's in the bag. Congratulations, Mr. Newman.
Yes, thank you, sir, and congratulations to you. And we'll do this again 7 days from now.
I like it. I look forward to it.
Take care, Joe.
You too. Bye-bye.